It's the NXT Show, starring Zim.
Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I am Zach Zimmerman, and today we'll be running through the episode that aired on June the 17th, 2015, the fourth and final show taped back on May 21st at Full Sail University. This is a all-access audio, which means that is one of the very rare occasions where non.NET members will be getting to hear the NXT audio show. And if you enjoy what you hear, just know that whatever you're getting here on the all-access side of things, you know, sometimes we'll give you a taste, whether it's, you know, the NXT audio this week or Will Pruitt's, I believe it was Lucha Underground audio last week, Darren Gutteridge on Ring of Honor the week before. Always giving you little snippets and tastes of things on the all-access side, but just know that on the member side, they are getting everything, every audio that we do every single week, coverage of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Impact, Lucha Underground, all the major pay-per-views. Looks like we've got Ring of Honor coverage going forward. We've got Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett getting together for what they call the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. We've got myself, Will Pruitt, and his wife, Christy Pruitt, getting together, recapping old Attitude Eras of Raw. We call that Millennials with Attitude, and so far that's gotten a really, really excellent level of feedback. We're having a lot of fun doing that. Sounds like people are having a lot of fun listening. It's a little bit different than anything else we do here at the website, so if I'm going to go extra hard into plug mode for anything, it's Millennials with Attitude. Give that a shot. Maybe at some point we'll release an all-access edition of that and just let you guys see what you're missing out on, but don't wait for that, because who knows if or when that's even going to happen, so jump into .NET membership and check out Millennials with Attitude. And we also have, I guess just as awesome as the audio is ad-free access to the website. If you know ProWrestling.net, you know it's a great website, easy to navigate, but there are flashers and banners and pop-up ads. Over on the member side of things, get rid of all of that for you. It's just content, all 100% content. Where there used to be plugs, there is now either nothing or links to existing .NET members content, which you're really going to want to check out. Recently, Jason Powell has conducted interviews with a bunch of really kind of impressive level wrestlers. He's got Davey Richards, he had Kenny King, Rockstar Spud, Doc Gallows, Jeff Jarrett, and many other interviews going back several years, I believe. We get, Jason Powell takes part in all of the Triple H conference calls and all of those conference calls, and we've got all the audio and all that available up on the member side of things. Easy to find links right in the middle on the side of the page. So once you go .NET membership, the homepage just gets a whole heck of a lot easier to navigate and also more interesting. And then, of course, I'd be remiss not to, I'm sorry, when I was discussing audio shows, I completely neglected to mention the flagship broadcast. I got so excited by Millennials with Attitude, I forgot to mention Jason Powell's .NET weekly audio show, which is the one big audio show a week, just running through all the news and events. Usually there's some first run news, little tidbits of cool insider information in there. That's really where the money's at. But also, you know, all the other audio content and the ad-free access to the website. And you get access to the members forum once you sign up for .NET membership. Good group of people in there. You're not going to find a lot of the drama that you find in other forums in there. So just a good place to kind of have a nice, easy little wrestling discussion, make your opinions known, that kind of thing. ProWrestling.net membership. Before I was a staffer, I was a very satisfied member. ProWrestling.net, check the homepage. You'll see it right at the top of the page. With that out of the way, let's jump right into this week's show. Again, it was the one that aired on the WWE Network on June the 17th, and it was the last show taped back on May the 21st. This is the first show that aired since the passing of the legendary American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, who, of course, was an invaluable piece of that WWE Performance Center, and just had an incredible impact on all of these performers, down, whether they're there now or whether they've had stints in the past in NXT. Dusty Rhodes left his fingerprints all over wrestling, especially all over the future of wrestling, which, as sad as it is that he's gone, it's I guess you would say a silver lining, just to know that we're going to get to see his legacy live on through, you know, generations of wrestlers. And indeed, this show did, they aired the graphic dedicating the show to Dusty, you know, in memory of Dusty Rhodes. And his tribute video package played, and as I noted in my live coverage, I've seen it a dozen times now. Still makes me cry every time they put together a really powerful video package, and that was a hell of a powerful guy. So, heck of a combination there. We got the opening music video playing, and this was, like I noted, the last set of taping. So, Dusty obviously alive and well at the time of this taping. So we'll see if there's any I don't, we'll just see if there's any reflections on Dusty Rhodes. Starting next week when they begin airing the episodes that they're going to be taping tonight. Tonight being Thursday the 18th, they'll be doing a fresh set of tapings down there at Full Sail. So we'll see what kind of Dusty reflections they have, if anything. We came into the NXT arena where we got Enzo Amore, Colin Cassidy, and Carmella making their entrance. Enzo, of course, did their usual stick, certified G bona fide stud, all the you can't teach that, how you doing, all the good stuff. He came up with a bunch of Star Wars nicknames for them. He called himself the Smack Talker Skywalker. He called Cass, I think he called him Big Cass Kenobi or something like that. And he called Carmella Princess Mella. He handed the mic off to Princess Mella, who then called Blake and Murphy pigs. She said that they're pathetic for needing Alexa Bliss's help, and she said Alexa Bliss is about to get dissed, disfigured, and then dismissed. And then Carmella said, "Bye, Felicia. Bye, Felicia." And they all the Jersey guys just kept saying, "Bye, Felicia." And this went way over my head at the time. I did a little bit of research, and a quick trip to Urban Dictionary will tell you that. Let's read it word for word here. According to Urban Dictionary, "Bye, Felicia" is when someone says that they're leaving, and you really could give two shits less that they are. Their name then becomes Felicia. Their real name becomes irrelevant because nobody cares. Instead, they're Felicia. So, yeah, Alexa Bliss is now Felicia. Then we had Cassidy about to spell it out for us, but then Blake and Murphy's music hit and they interrupted. Tag Champs and Alexa Bliss made their entrance, and we got the first match of the night, six-person mixed tag with Enzo, Cass, and Carmella versus Blake, Murphy, and Bliss. Crowd was all over the heels, totally into Enzo, Cass, and Carmella. Enzo, kind of typical opening match stuff with Enzo. He takes a little bit of a beating, he gets a little bit of a fun comeback, and I did notice in here that he did this thing where he dropped one of the guys with a drop toe hold, he walked across their back, and then he stopped, and he did put his hands on his hips and did a little hip swivel there. Obviously, at this time, it was before Dusty's passing, but it was also a very, very, very Dusty-esque little dance, little hip swivel there, so that was kind of cool. Brought a smile to my face for sure. Things broke down. Baby faces got the heels all out of the ring, and they finally delivered the SAWFT soft line that was interrupted earlier. Went to commercial break, and when we came back, things picked up a little bit. Blake and Murphy were in control, but then Carmella actually took the hot tag. She came in and for a pretty short amount of time, hit some offense on Alexa Bliss. When Bliss got a moment, though, she scurried back to her corner and tagged out. Wesley Blake came in, but as he did, so did Big Cass, and Big Cass went on a roll. Hit a big stinger splash, a big boot, huge sidewalk slam, and then Enzo Amore came off the top rope with a diving splash. Enzo, Cass, and Carmella with the win in just shy of 7 minutes. I thought this was solid. Solid and effective. Just straightforward, solid match and effective booking. You get the champions pinning the chal I'm sorry, the challengers pinning the champions. To keep this feud going and to clearly, or I would presume, I guess, set up another title shot down the line for Enzo and Cass. Their matches that they do around the house show, they either do this six person or they just do Enzo and Cass versus Blake and Murphy. Those tag matches are kind of a couple notches above the caliber of this one. That said, this did the job it needed to do, and I like the booking. It's just simple and effective. Have the challengers beat the champions to keep things alive and set up the challenge going forward. Just effective, straightforward, good stuff. We went to a still shot video recap kind of thing of John Cena beating Kevin Owens at Money in the Bank, and Kevin Owens subsequently laying out John Cena with the apron powerbomb. We went backstage where Devon Taylor was standing by with Samoa Joe, and Devon asked if Samoa Joe came to NXT specifically to target Kevin Owens. Joe said that's a complicated question. He said he's always tried to be on the cutting edge. He's always tried to be, at the place where all the talk in the wrestling industry is. He always wanted to be at the forefront of the big movements in wrestling. Say what you will about TNA. I guess Joe is kind of at the forefront of Ring of Honor, right? Relatively speaking. And I guess for TNA too, but was that really the talk of the industry? Is TNA really the cutting edge? But he said that as of right now, NXT it kind of is what's defined. NXT is defining all of those things right now. He said that as far as Kevin Owens goes, he just doesn't like him. He said that Kevin Owens is comes in there and tries to be a big tough guy. He tries to use intimidation tactics. Joe had a great line here. He said that intimidation is a tactic of the weak. Intimidation is a tactic of the cowardly, and intimidation is a tactic of a man who does not truly want to fight. Joe said that tonight he's gonna beat the NXT champion in that ring unmercifully, and that was that. This was I guess maybe you go back to the Samoa Joe Kurt Angle program, and maybe you'll find something as good as this. But I thought, as far as Samoa Joe goes, I thought this promo was just fantastic. I thought his intensity was right where it needed to be. I thought he said everything he needed to say, delivered it to a great level. I just thought this was in the elite of Samoa Joe promos. I really enjoyed this. And granted, it was a backstage pre-tape. They could have had him do it 10 times and pick the best. But regardless, this was still great stuff from Samoa Joe. We had a Finn Balor video package hyped up next. And indeed, when we came back, we got what was just an awesome feature on Finn Balor. It opened with when he does the demon entrance. He has like an extra extended intro to his entrance music. This did that, and it was just kind of clips of him making his entrance and all different environments, whether it was the NXT arena or one of the live specials done up in paint, or at one of the house shows, or one of the touring shows. Just all those kind of to hype it up. And then when it really seemed like it was gonna pick up, it didn't. It faded and it settled down, and it was just Finn Balor sitting down, ready to do kind of almost like a UFC style sit down interview. The interviewer asked very simply, "Who's Fergal Devitt?" And this is when it kind of opened up and blossomed. Photos started to show of Finn Balor with his, or I guess they said it here, Fergal Devitt. A Fergal Devitt with his, family as a young child, as a baby growing up, and all that. Balor discussed his family and his upbringing. It was just kind of a compilation thing with photos flashing on the screen and then going back to him seated at the interview seat. And then it kind of got into how he fell in love with wrestling during the what would it have been? Whatever the early 90s era was, I don't know, kind of latter day Macho Man and Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and those guys kind of coming in vogue. And then he talked about how when he saw that, he set his sights on becoming a wrestler, and he never had any alternatives in mind. Whenever anybody asked him what he was going to do, he was going to be a wrestler. This was cool. They had some video clips that they got to show from a very young Fergal Devitt wrestling for ICW Insane Championship Wrestling, I believe in Scotland. God, if that's the wrong country or whatever, I apologize. I know they're not always on good terms over there, as far as like, if you accidentally refer to one as the other or something, that's, one nationality is the other. But I believe ICW is Scottish, I believe. And they also showed, I think it was either Rev Pro, I think it was either Rev Pro or PCW, maybe Rev Pro UK. I'm not, yeah, but either way, they had some cool, like indie footage from Prince Devitt on the UK indie scene. And he discussed just kind of how he helped build up that UK indie wrestling scene. And then we got a feature on Becky Lynch, who was sitting down and was discussing how Fergal Devitt was just an absolutely monumental part of her career. He said that he trained her, and then she kind of broke down, and she said that a couple months ago, I think she said that she was asked, who's the one person in your life who has changed it more so than anybody else? And she broke down in tears and said, "That man's Fergal Devitt. If he hadn't taken me under my wing, if he hadn't trained me, I wouldn't have even made it into this business, let alone made it to WWE." She said that he saved her life, and she owes everything that she is right now to him. Becky and Fergal were shown sitting and just kind of chatting it up in one of the rings at the Performance Center, and Becky was just kind of talking about some of her memories of training with Devitt. Devitt admitted in his they did God, my autocorrect went wild here. At one point, it changed Fergal to Furl. It changed Devitt to DeWitt. So I'm still using this new MacBook, and I haven't gotten it completely set up the way I like it yet. At some point, it will be typo free. But not typo free, autocorrect free. But they were doing the side by side thing where Becky was kind of seated in the same interview spot as Devitt, and she was talking about, you know, what a great trainer he was and how she owes everything to him. And then you had him on the contrary to that saying, I was 20 years old. I had no business training anybody. She deserves all the credit in the world because she's the one who made it happen. So Becky giving him credit, him kind of deflecting it and you know, reflecting it back to her. Becky said that he is the most down-to-earth and humble guy she's ever met, and yet he is truly great at this. This is what he was meant to do. More footage from ICW and PCW aired, but this was a little bit more recent footage where now it was not young pre-Japan Balor Devitt. This was painted up latter day Devitt. This was cool. Devitt began to discuss, although they, in very WWE fashion, they doctored this up to make it to tell the narrative that they wanted to tell. They want to tell the story that he trained, he ran through the UK scene, he ran through Japan, and then he finally made it to WWE. Eh, not quite, but this is what they did here. So they showed latter day Devitt with the paint, which in real time was after he had already left Japan and was doing his last indie run before coming to WWE. But then they showed this, and then they discussed him being scouted for New Japan. And they aired footage of him giving his goodbye speech to, I believe it was the ICW crowd. And they played this up like it was going to be his goodbye speech for Japan, which, as kind of an indie nerd and a purist and just a fan of good wrestling and knowing what I'm talking about, this kind of irked me a little bit, but it's the story they're trying to tell. It's WWE, so they're gonna do what they're gonna do. But it ended with him just giving that goodbye speech and talking about being scouted for Japan. And part two was hyped for up next week. I absolutely cannot wait. I mean, sure, it may not follow the a completely accurate narrative, but at the same time, this video package was freaking awesome. I mean, awesome. This was, I mean, as far as character features go. This was probably the best one that NXT's ever done. I mean, sure, they did a great one for Becky Lynch going into her title shot last month. They've done great ones for Hideo Itami and handfuls of other talent going back. But I don't think any of them were as good as this. I think this was absolutely phenomenal. We came back into the arena where we got Charlotte making her entrance, and her opponent, the former Casey Cassidy, was already in the ring. She was not introduced. But seconds into the second match of the night, Tom Phillips began to refer to her as Cassie. So believes it appears that at least for the time being, she is Cassie. This was just a showcase for Charlotte. She got about 90% of the match, and so when somebody gets that much of the match, they almost have to work a heel style, you know, because they take most of the match. They ground the other person in headlocks, and they work their offense and slow things back down into the headlocks again. It's very much the heel formula, and that was Charlotte in this match. That said, this was an effective showcase for her. This was, you know, kind of kept her relevant in her thing with her ongoing thing with Dana Brooke and Emma, and just let her show off her signature stuff and let her show off how she can be a ring general. She can control things, control the pacing, hit all of her signature spots, and look good. Cassie didn't really get much of anything in here. At one point, she got a brief comeback with the running crossbody. But Charlotte didn't, you know, she didn't let that last long. Charlotte hit her spinning neck breaker, hit a very, very high impact spear, and then locked in the figure eight. Charlotte forced Cassie to submit in just shy of 4 minutes. This was fine. It was, again, just a showcase for Charlotte to keep her relevant in her ongoing feud, and it did an effective job of doing just that. Speaking of her ongoing feud, the commentators mentioned that Charlotte still has her sights set on Dana Brooke, and then they threw backstage to Devon Taylor, who was standing by with Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke, as usual, cut Devon Taylor off before she could finish asking her question, and just said that you know, she bragged about competing in at the recent Arnold Classic that took place down in Brazil. Said that's why she's been gone for a little while, but now she's back, and she's she said that she's back, which is great for fans and bad for Charlotte. She said Charlotte is about to be replaced by the Total Diva, which is her, of course. She said that some people earn their way to the top rather than using their family name to get there. She promised to shove Charlotte right out the door that family name, you know, got her in, and then said that But yeah, she's gonna shove Charlotte back through the door that she came through. Then she walked off, but she came right back and she said, "You know, Devin, I really missed doing this." And then she, diminutively patted Devin on the head and then took off. Main event was hyped up next, and we got a similar Finn Balor vignette to the Demon one that aired last week. We got that airing. Came back into the arena, and it was main event time as the NXT champion, Kevin Owens, made his entrance, and Samoa Joe was out next to his goofy NXT music. Whew, I have noted here that, pardon me, I'm sorry, that this was the fourth match of the night, and it was only the third, but, I don't really think I'm going to bother going back and changing that. We had Owens, as usual, ducked out of the ring right as soon as the bell rang. But Joe was not having it. He got out of the ring and got right face to face, nose to nose with Kevin Owens. They didn't touch physically. They didn't break down here. But Kevin Owens knew, I'm not getting out of this. I gotta just get in the ring, and it's time to just turn it on because that's the only choice I have right now. I could try to run, but as I noted last week, I don't run anywhere. So yeah, Owens knew he didn't have a lot of options here. Got back into the ring. And Joe immediately backed Owens into the corner, but Owens yelled, "I'm the champ! I'm the champ!" And then Joe teed off and just started killing him with the rapid-fire jabs. Joe took control of the match for the early portion of it until Owens caught him with a jawbreaker, which stunned him. And then Owens charged in, hit a hard clothesline in the corner, and looked to hit another one. But Joe came right back with a running back elbow of his own and that big jumping enziguri he does. Joe did a couple of face washes in the corner, and then Owen slipped out of the ring going to commercial break. So all Joe early on. Kevin Owens is a really, there's kind of two sides. I mean, there's clearly more sides to Kevin Owens, but there's really two sides of Kevin Owens in the ring. There's the Kevin Owens who knows that he's in charge and he's on a roll or whatever, and he's gonna get in there and dominate the person that he's in there with if he believes that that person is lesser than him. When he's in there with a fired up Sami Zayn or a fired up Samoa Joe, he takes an ass whooping like we saw at the last live special from Sami Zayn. He takes a licking like we saw from Samoa Joe here. He can take a licking. And when he's really good at being the dominant badass heel, but he's also very good at being the dominant badass heel who, when he is outmatched, is very good at showing that he is outmatched. It's an interesting thing that not a lot of people are able to, walk that line. He's very, very successful at it. So we came back from break, and Owens had somehow managed to take control, and he hit his corner cannonball before really slowing things down, settled into a couple of lengthy chin locks. There were some rally teases from Joe, with Owens ended up putting him, right back down, back into that hold. When things finally, they worked that for a couple minutes, and then things kind of picked up down the stretch. Joe fought out, and Owens charged him in the corner, but Joe spiked him down to the mat with the ST Joe. Owens ducked out of the ring, but Joe followed him, and Owens actually managed to send Joe face first, head first into the ring post. Owens yelled, "Get the stretcher!" and then set up the apron powerbomb, but Joe managed to break free, and then the two just began hockey style trading blows. They each grabbed each other by the side of the head and they just fired off shots. Shot after shot after shot, and the referee couldn't stop them. They were just beating the shit out of each other at ringside. So the referee called for the bell and this one ended. There were a couple of points where my network, I think, skipped forward a little bit. I accidentally forgot to restart my timer after the commercial break, but give or take, this one went about 10 minutes. And the two just brawled at ringside. They keep beating each other up. The referees cleared out of the back and they tried to split them up, succeeded for a moment, and then the two broke free and continued brawling, separated them, broke free and brawling. They kept doing this until more geeks than NXT shirts ran out. I believe these were like, I don't know whether they were the new recruits or whatever they were, just the lowly jobbers, but they were just kind of geeks in NXT shirts. They also tried to separate these two animals to little success as they continued to break free and continue brawling. Each time they would get them further and further separated to the point where Owens had been backed up to the top of the ramp. I'm sorry, Joe had been backed up to the top of the ramp before he broke free and began charging down the ramp. Got into the ring, continued brawling. Did I even note that in here? Yeah, Joe charged back the ramp. Okay, and then yeah, brawling, 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 and then Owens finally left the ring. and grabbed his title belt and made his way up the ramp, but not before dropping a few of the Geeks in NXT shirts with shots on his way back, just for good measure, I guess. The show closed with Kevin Owens standing at the top of the ramp, clutching his NXT championship, and looking like, I guess, kind of like he had met his match. So, fun stuff here. Good segment to end the show. I mean, you know, you tell people that you're going to get Kevin Owens versus Samoa Joe. This wasn't the barn burner that people probably would have wanted. But again, you have to know the pattern that these things follow. Look at any first clash that NXT is given. You know, any first big-time clash. Whether it's Finn Balor and Kevin Owens. Or you know, going back, Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. You know what I mean? They did a number one contenders match or something. Maybe like a year before they ended up doing their title match, and it wasn't, you know, it was restrained, as was this. But that's what you have to expect. It was the first piece. It's the first piece of what I expect to be a long-term story, and it looks like they're setting up as a long-term story. And so you can't expect them to go out there and throw everything they've got out here. You've got to expect them to go out there and leave you wanting more while entertaining you while doing what they're doing. And I thought they did an effective job of that. And they also progressed this kind of just the narrative that Samoa Joe may be the bully to equal Kevin Owens, you know, bully, which I think is a really compelling story to tell, because so far it's just been the dominant Owens running through everybody who we thought was the elite of NXT, and now we're finally seeing, okay, Kevin Owens has met his match, and he's seeing, okay, I've met my match, and seeing his character react to that is really entertaining. So thumbs up for the main event segment here. Thumbs up for this show overall. I mean, man, as I was covering it live, I was shocked when it was, you know, the main event already, and then it was over. This show completely flew by. One of the faster NXTs I can ever remember calling. I was entertained. I'm not calling. My God, covering. I was entertained throughout. There was nothing at any point where I'm like, all right, let's get this over with. There was nothing that they announced before a commercial break that I'm like, ugh, I can't wait till this is over. Everything did its job effectively, efficiently, entertainingly. This is one of my favorite shows in recent memory. I very, very, very much enjoyed the show. Just solid, solid show from beginning to end. You know, we'll see what they do tonight at the tapings. But they have the groundwork laid already going into their next live special for some very, very, very entertaining programs, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they expand on those and kind of ramp them up as we get. It looks like this will be kind of the hump taping going into the next live special. I think we'll probably do this taping, one more after it, and that'll probably put us right at the doorstep of the next of the next takeover special. So yeah, I don't know. You know, I guess I don't want to get my hopes up too high because I was hoping they would come out with a big summer, you know, quote-unquote summer kickoff with a big, you know, just high-quality level of shows every week going forward. They didn't really do that. You know, some good, some bad. This was a good week. Previous weeks have been kind of rough. So I'm not going to get my hopes too high, but we will have the results, the spoiler results up tonight. So if you're interested before your head hits the pillow tonight, I usually try to get those up sometime, you know, late night, the night that they air. So check back onto the main page for those, and I will have them for you there. Other than that, I believe that's going to do it for this show. Don't really have much else to say, and so I will be back next week. All right, everyone, take care.